Let's just pray. Father, my brothers and sisters, Lord, have got a big week ahead of them. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, as we go through your word, Lord, that you'll strengthen them for the week that's ahead. I pray, Lord, our hearts will be open to you. We pray you'll speak to each one of us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Last week, we launched into our 8-part series on the phenomenal book of Romans. And what we're going to do is, we've never done an 8-part series. I've never done an 8-part series before. But we're just looking at the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans. Some of you are not familiar with the book of Romans. It's in the New Testament of the Bible. And last week, we started with Romans chapter... number one. And so this week, we're going to move along to Romans chapter... But if you missed last week, each part of the series is complete in itself. So if you missed last week, God can still speak to you today. Amen. Absolutely can. If you're open to him, that is. But we're on a journey. So I ask you to try and stay with the journey as we go through this series. Last week, I challenged and encouraged people to read through the entire book of Romans. Just out of curiosity, is there anybody who started reading through the book of Romans? Wow. Anybody actually got to the end of Romans? It's got 16 chapters. Somebody has. Wow, that's terrific. Read through the book of Romans. You'll be blessed that you did. And I also challenged everyone to memorize. This is where it gets hard, isn't it, everybody? To memorize our weekly memory verses that is connected to our 8-part series on the book of Romans. So we've got 8 memory verses to memorize over 8 to 10 weeks. And the memory verse we put in the newsletter, like this week's memory verse, is in the newsletter. So I just want to challenge you. Do something radical. Memorize a verse from the Bible each week for 8 weeks. Come on. Let's get the gray matter moving. Amen. And it'll do you good. Last week's memory verse was from the first chapter of Romans. Where was it found? Anybody remember? Chapter 1, verse 16. Now, I just want to say this because it was Kevin Christensen said, you need to tell everybody what version you're using. I'm using the NLT. But if you want to memorize from another version of the Bible, go right ahead. Whatever works for you, that's okay. Sometimes I find the King James Version is actually easier to memorize than the modern versions. But I'm sticking with the NLT for this series. And it says this, Romans 1 verse 16, for I am of this good news about Christ. It is the at work. Who believes? If you believe, then the power of God, the gospel, is working in you. Absolutely, absolutely. Today it's working in you. So this week, and that's a great verse to remember. So this week we're focused on Romans chapter 2. So the memory verse is Romans 2 verse 4. And it's just one sentence. How ridiculously easy is that to memorize? Don't you see how wonderfully, we're talking about God, how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you. Romans 2 verse 4. So that's our second verse to memorize. I did say if anybody can memorize all 8, I'll get you a Krispy Kreme donut. I've got a few from last year sitting in my cupboard at home, and I'll just bring them. No, it'll be fresh, and there we go. Finally, last week, we also spoke a little bit about the theme of Romans, which is the good news of Jesus Christ. And we saw how the good news of Jesus can be summarized in 6 sentences. Number one, has anybody noticed that it spells gospel down the side there? Did anybody notice that? Yeah. God created us to be with him. Yeah, it's on the front page of the newsletter. God created us to be with him. Our sins separate us from God. Number 3, sins cannot be removed by doing good deeds. Number 4, paying the price for our sin, Jesus Christ died and rose again. Number 5, anyone who trusts in Jesus alone has... Yeah, absolutely. And number 6, and we'll be talking a lot about number 6, life with Jesus starts now and lasts forever. And we'll be covering that in a few weeks' time. So over the next few weeks, we're just going to explore the power of God, the power of the good news in our lives and the work it produces in us and how it affects our lives even today, not just about heaven, but today as we build this series and we're going to have our finale in Romans chapter 8. This week, however, based on Romans chapter 2, we're going to look at one of the main reasons why the good news is the good news. why the good news of Jesus is the good news. The Bible talks a lot about the good news of Jesus. Jesus said he came to bring good news. But, and nobody get upset with this, because I'm a great believer in asking questions. That's how you learn. And I don't think we should be threatened by questions. But we must ask the very important question. What makes the good news about Jesus such good news? What makes the good news about Jesus such good news? Why is it good news? Is it really that good, or is it overrated? Is it really that good, or is it overrated? Obviously, we all love to experience good news. You love to have good news. For example, it would be good news if somehow today you won $1 million. You'd be looking like a baby. Amen? Something most of us would love to experience. But where does the good news of the Bible stand in comparison with winning $1 million? It's a legitimate question. Is the good news about Jesus better than winning $1 million? Or is it even better than winning, dare I say, $1 billion? By the way, I've seen an advert on TV, this Lotto Land advert, and the amount of money people could win is like $400 million. Wow! That's all I've got to say about that. That's all I've got to say. That's a lot of money. But is the good news of Jesus better than winning $1 billion? You know, which is more important to you? $1 billion, good news of Jesus. $1 billion. I think we can all agree, if we're honest, that if you won $1 million, then you would have a grin on your face from ear to ear. You'd be sitting in church this morning going, wait till they get my tithe today, amen. That grin would tell us all that you experienced something good. And you know, let's be honest about it. I'd be happy if I won $1 million, obviously, because that good news would just lift your spirits. Amen. Praise God. Holiday, here it comes. Amen. But what about the good news about Jesus Christ? How good is the good news about Jesus? It's a good question, isn't it? Well, one of the reasons why the good news is such good news. You want me to tell you? Yeah. I was just thinking about grinning from ear to ear. You know how if you won $1 million, you'd be grinning from ear to ear. But if the good news is better than about Jesus is better than winning $1 million, then we should be grinning from ear to ear more often, shouldn't we? If you believe that. One of the reasons why the good news is such good news is because there happens to be some very bad news regarding you and me. The good news about Jesus is good news because there is some opposite bad news. Good news, bad news. The good news is so good because the bad news is so bad. And the good news provides a way to escape the consequences of the bad news. I found in general in life, as a rule, that the badder the bad news, and by the way, the word badder is a legitimate word. The badder the bad news, the gooder the good news that fixes the bad news. Winning $1 million would mean very little to a billionaire, you know, a multi-billionaire. The billionaire would consider it just to be loose change, because he probably earns that every hour, and you know, it's loose change for him because he's already in a wealthy position. So the billionaire would not view winning $1 million as great good news. Oh, great, I won $1 million. Wow, whoopee. But winning $1 million would mean a lot to someone who cannot afford to buy their food. Such a person would dance with joy and celebrate because their poverty is ended. Their bad news makes $1 million very good news for them. Everybody following my logic? In the same way, if you do not understand or appreciate the severity of the bad news that is facing you, then you will have little appreciation or gratitude for the good news about Jesus Christ that redeems you, and it will mean little to you. When you see a Christian person always looking like they've been sucking on lemons with no joy And no expression of gratitude. Can't even lift their hands to God in church. No expression of gratitude to the Lord. Then you know that person has forgotten the bad news described in the Bible. It's not just the good news they've forgotten. They've forgotten the bad news. They've forgotten the truth of amazing grace that says, once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, you didn't remember what that was like. But now I see amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. They obviously don't understand the severity of the bad news that once ensnared their lives. And so therefore, they don't appreciate the good news of Jesus Christ. However, when you know, and when you remember the bad news that once hung over your head, then you will appreciate and be grateful for the good news of Jesus Christ that has set you free. Never forget where you came from. And the book of Romans deliberately devotes a lot of time and detail on talking about the bad news before it reveals the startling treasures of the good news. Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 2, and Romans chapter 3 is full of bad news, but it's not being negative at all. You might not like what it says, but it is bringing a needed reminder and a strong warning about the worst bad news ever, so you can see how good the good news actually is. And Romans chapter 2 is part of the detailed description of the bad news. And so therefore, Romans chapter 2 is a very important chapter to read in the Bible. However, if you feel the need to read an uplifting chapter from the Bible to encourage you, then I recommend you do not read Romans chapter 2. Don't even go there. It will not lift your spirits. It will not soothe your soul. Read Psalm 23 instead. Amen. I even struggled to find a memory verse in Romans chapter 2 that would encourage you. But I managed because Paul left one in the whole chapter. But always remember this, that not every chapter in the Bible is written to make you feel good. Feeling good is actually just a side benefit. It's not the goal of our faith. And we live in a culture that's all about how you feel, you know. You can feel good while you're on your way to hell. Rather, every chapter of the Bible is part of the story. It's a big story that will show you how you can be right with Almighty God. Amen? And to be right with God is the most important issue in your life. It's not the house you're living in. It's not how much money you're earning. It's not whether you're single or married. The biggest important issue in your life is, are you right with Almighty God? And that's the aim of the Bible. That's what it's all about. And to be right with God is the doorway to the treasures of God for this life and in the life to come. So, I ask this question now. What is the bad news? What is the bad news that we must not forget? Why is the bad news so bad? And who's affected by the bad news? Great questions, everybody. Now, all of you, I can see you all tensing up right now. You should be grateful for what I'm going to share with you right now. Because some preachers these days, they don't like to talk about the bad news in the Bible because they're concerned it may hurt people's feelings and self-esteem. But you need to be grateful today and thank God that you have a pastor who doesn't care about hurting your feelings and damaging your fragile self-esteem. Amen. Obviously, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but really, truly, I really care about you being rescued and about you being right with God. I care that you're accessing the full treasure of the good news about Jesus Christ. So we're going to look just briefly at the bad news from Romans chapter 2. It's not going to make you feel good. I just want to warn you. You may have experienced God, the Holy Spirit, convicting you for your sin today. And that never feels good. But we need it in order to become whole and healed people. So if you start shouting hallelujah and getting excited in this part of the message, then that means you do not understand what I'm saying and you have some serious issues going on in your life. So instead of shouting hallelujah, you might want to shout,
woe is me, or something to that like that. I don't know. Instead. Okay, so what is the bad news? Here we go. Firstly, Romans chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. It says, for a day of anger is coming. I'll read that again. This is a Bible. For a day of anger is coming when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will judge everyone according to what they had done. So the bad news begins with this announcement. A day of anger is coming. That is bad news. And God is, no matter what you've heard about God, you read the Bible, God is very, 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 very scary when he gets angry. God is not nice. God is love. But when God gets angry, he is very, very, very scary. There is nothing so terrifying in the entire universe as the wrath and anger of Almighty God. The Bible even says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So that's the start of the bad news. Next question related to this is, what is God actually angry about? And I had to take a verse from Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 verse 18 tells us, it says, but God shows his anger against some sinful, very important word, that word, all. But God shows his anger against all sinful, wicked people. So God is angry with sin and wickedness, and he finds sin and wickedness in people. So God is angry with sinful and wicked people. That's a good place to say, woe is me. Yeah. It's really funny, not funny, as I'm just talking about this right now, I'm just so aware of how this is so counterculture to the world in which we're living today. Nobody talks about this, and it's all in the Bible. And just how our society is, it's people today, and you might be one of them, who consider the word sinful and wicked to be such strong, offensive words that they can surely only be applied to criminals and people we don't like. And so we reinterpret such judgment verses, even subconsciously we can do it, to mean that God is angry with criminals and very bad people like Adolf Hitler and people like him. But the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Romans, he knew that his readers, including us today, would think just like that I've expressed. He knew that his readers would be judging other people while justifying themselves as being, I'm okay, he's wicked but I'm not, she's sinful but I'm not. He knew some people would be reasoning that God is not so strict anymore. This is 2017, you know. He's not strict with people so long as they're sincere and so long as you're nice. He only gives the criminals a hard time. Interestingly, most people never see themselves as wicked. Everybody else is wicked, they've just made mistakes. In fact, we all judge other people and we think that we're better than other people. Don't we? But Paul began Romans chapter 2 by saying, you may think you can condemn such people, but you are just as bad. And you've got no excuse. When you say they are wicked and should be punished, you are condemning yourself, for you who judge others do these very same things. And then later in Romans chapter 3, Paul said this, for all have sinned. Yeah, let's not forget that. So the point of Romans chapter 2 is to show that every one of us qualifies as sinful and wicked people, including me. In other words, you're not that good without Jesus. I'll say it again. You're not that good without Jesus. And neither am I. I'm focusing on the bad news. And the bad news against us is a building. Firstly, God is angry with sinners. And secondly, we're all sinners. So as a result, in Romans chapter 2, verse 5, as a result of our sins, it says, as a result of our sins and being wicked, it says, you're storing up terrible punishment for yourself.
Romans chapter 2 verse 8 says, but he, God, will pour out his anger and wrath on those who live for themselves and who refuse to obey the truth. Romans chapter 2 verse 9 says, there will be trouble and calamity for everyone who keeps on doing what is evil. That's a good verse to remind you to stop doing what's evil. Amen? So we can conclude that God is angry at sin and he's going to punish sinners and wicked people. And that is really bad news. It's frightening news that should not be trivialized. And it's because of these verses that we're a missions-minded church wanting to tell the world about Jesus. Amen. So the bad news is this. Firstly, God is angry with sinners. Secondly, we are all sinners. And thirdly, punishment and destruction for our sin is coming. That is bad. That's bad news. There is a day of reckoning for all of us. I just want to remind everybody, we don't live on this planet forever. Really. There's a day of reckoning for all of us. And that is the bad news that hangs over our generation, including all the people here in Gosnells, going to the shops, going over to Coles, people sitting over at Dome having a coffee, over the whole country. This is what's hanging over our country today. And everybody's going here, there, making plans for this and that, while there's this bad news coming their way. And it's an awful day that is nearly upon us. You will stand before God, the great judge, and you will give an account of your life. Absolutely you will, and so will I. And here's the question. What will happen to you on that day? What will happen to you on that day? And you can say, oh, that's just rubbish. But what if I'm right? What if I'm right? What will happen to you on that day? Where will you spend your eternity after that encounter with Almighty God? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to you? Will you spend under God's wrath in hell, or will you spend it under God's favor in heaven? What's going to happen to you? And these are the matters everybody should consider. Throughout the Bible story, there were times when God brought judgment on people upon a nation. And these events are in the Bible as warnings for everybody in this place today. And these warnings point to the final and last time when God Almighty will judge every person. And they are warnings in the Bible so that we don't make the same mistakes as people have in the past and end up on the wrong side of God. We don't want to be on the wrong side of God. The most destructive judgment that God ever brought upon the earth occurred during the time of Noah. And concerning that time, Genesis 6 verse 5 and 6 says, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had made them and put them on the earth, and it broke his heart. God gave him a long time to repent, but they didn't, and consequently God sent a catastrophic flood that destroyed humanity for their wickedness and sin. It was terrible in the extreme, and you all know about that story. And today, some people, I hear people want to debate me and stuff like that from time to time. I had somebody last week asking me why God is so mean. Good question, by the way. And I gave her a good answer. But today, some people point a finger at God. And they get angry at him and they accuse him of being mean and unjust for judging people so severely. Some say that's why they don't want to believe in God. How could I believe in a God who's like that? But you know, you can do all the pointing and shouting at God that you want, and you can live your life how you want. Today's message, or in it, all I'm trying to say is I just want to remind you that God's anger is scary, whatever you think about him. And God is right, and God is just, and he's the only one who is ever right. And you don't want to pick a fight with God. Swallow your pride and repent. He's right, you're wrong, that's it. And one day you're going to stand before the Lord, and you can tell him what you thought of him on that day and see what happens. However, thank God that the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 8, Noah found favor with the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's what the King James says. And God saved Noah and his family. And God wants to save you and your family and those that you love. God saved Noah and his family from coming under the judgment of the world. And the point of this series from Romans is to show you how you can find favor with the Lord like Noah did and escape the judgments of God that are soon coming upon the world. But I wonder if God is looking at our generation, our world today, with all the rubbish that's going on. And I wonder if God's feeling the same way about our generation as he did about Noah's generation all those thousands of years ago. I wonder if the Lord is saying the same thing. The Bible's saying the same thing, you know, about us. The Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth in 2017. And he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Just look at your TV programs. Who comes up with that stuff? There are some very disturbed people. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth, and it broke his heart. Could the world of Noah's generation have been more wicked than our generation? I don't think so. Right now, and this is just something I think, and I've sensed it around the world. I actually sensed this when we were in Paris on holidays. You know, we were in Paris a couple of years ago, just before the terrorist attack. One of the strangest things is that while I was in Paris, I just felt the tension in the air. I knew something was going to happen. And sure enough, a month later, we had those terrorist attacks. There's tension in the air all around the world. People all around the world are sensing that something's about to snap. They don't know what it is. People feel it. People are pointing to climate change and the environment and all of that sort of stuff. Others are pointing to war, and now the specter of possible nuclear war is back on the world's radar again. But it won't be any of those things. While people are shouting, peace, come on, peace, 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 God will step into human history for one last time. We are so close to our expiry date. And the Apostle Peter prophesied that in the last days people would scoff about the return of Jesus. And people do that today, don't they? They scoff. They would scoff at me. This will be on the internet. People would say, that man's crazy. But this is what Peter says. He says, but Jesus is coming again on that day, and he will set the heavens on fire, and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth he has promised. So if a person is not right with God, the future is all very bad news. I'm talking about the bad news. Someone may say, well, I don't really know about that. People have been saying the same thing for thousands of years because God might not judge the world for another century. And that might be true. I don't know. That might be true. But the thing is, you're not going to live for another century. The Bible says each person is destined to die once, and after that comes a judgment for them. So judgment for our wickedness is coming to every one of us sooner or later. Judgment is coming. It is unavoidable. How will it go for you? What will you do? How will it go for you? So the bad news is really bad news. The bad news is severe. God is angry with sinners. Secondly, we're all sinners. Thirdly, punishment and destruction for our sin is coming. Wow. You and I need a Savior. We need a rescuer. We need a Redeemer. And thank God there is a Savior, and His name is. And that's what this series is all about. I just don't want us to forget the bad news. Romans chapter 2 is not an inspiring chapter, but its message of warning is just desperately needed to save people's lives. It's like a lighthouse that warns ships to stay away from the rocks. Oh, what a mean lighthouse. What a boring lighthouse. It's saying, stay away from the rocks. What a boring looking lighthouse. I don't believe what it's saying. Stay away from the rocks. So God's word in the book of Romans sounds a warning for us to stay away from the rocks of destruction and have life. But praise God. Embedded within Romans chapter 2 is our memory verse. This memory verse has a seed of hope. Thank God there is
Amen. There is hope
concerning the day of anger that is coming. Romans 2 verse 4a says, and this is our memory verse, don't you see how wonderfully kind, how tolerant, and how patient God is with you, with us, with me? Then it says in Romans 2, 4, the second part, can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you away from your sin? Yes, God is angry with sinners and wicked people like all of us, but we also know from the Bible that God loves people. God also loves sinners and wicked people like all of us at the same time. He hates the sin, but he wants to rescue the sinner. But he can't rescue a sinner who holds on to their sin. God is still kind to sinners like us. He sends us rain. He gives us food. And he gives us time to consider our ways and the way we live our lives. He gives us time to repent of our sins and to receive the Savior. Today is not the judgment day. Amen. Thank God it's not. That day is coming, but today is a day of salvation. Today is a day of hope. Today is a day of grace. Today is a day to be rescued. You can escape the bad news by repenting of your sin, letting go of your sin, and receiving the forgiveness that God offers you because Jesus Christ died for your sins. The Bible tells us about the bad news that I've just described very briefly today, that it came crashing down onto Jesus when he was on the cross. Came crashing down. The bad news came on Jesus, crashed onto him, so that the bad news will not come crashing down on you. Heed the warning. Listen to the warning of the book of Romans. Avoid the bad news. Admit you're a sinner and turn to Almighty God. Amen. Amen. And then when you do that, God will turn you from a sinner into a child of God. He will make you into a new creation. Today is a good day to get right with God. Our original question, how good is the good news about Jesus Christ? How good is the good news about Jesus Christ? Is it better than winning $1 million? Absolutely. $1 million will pass away, but a person who is born again and right with God will live forever in eternity with Almighty God. Good news about Jesus is the best news ever. Will you repent of your sins today and turn to Almighty God and receive eternal life? Let's pray, shall we? Everybody, let's just pray. We're just going to pray to the Lord and see how patient and kind he is that we can actually pray. That's his kindness to us, that we can pray and call upon his name. The Bible says that the Lord answers prayer, and again, that's his kindness to us. And today's message, I understand, was a very difficult message and a very hard message. Wasn't an uplifting message, I understand that. But it's a message that can save you from eternal destruction. And that's what matters. I know I've preached mostly to people who are born again. Just wanted you to remember what you've been saved from. And never take it for granted. You should be constantly thanking God for what he's done for us. When you remember the bad news, suddenly that good news of what Christ has done looks really good. Really good. But I was just wondering today, if there's somebody here today and you're backslidden because you took for granted the things of God. You know, treated as a light thing. Well, heed the warning today. Don't mess around. Come back to God today. Or maybe you've never made your peace with God ever. Today God has spoken to you and you're saying, yes, I want to be right with God. I don't want that bad news crashing down on me. If you're backslidden, you're turning to God, or if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, you've never been made right with God, but today you want to be, I'd love to pray with you. With every head bowed, every person praying right now, can I pray for you? And part of our culture here at our churches is when we ask people if they want prayer, we just say, could you raise your hand? People do that. And where you're seated, don't come to the front, but just raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you if you're saying, yes, I want to get right with God today. If you're backslidden, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God is speaking to you today. Respond to what God is saying. We're going to pray right now. Can we pray for you? Or if you've never made your peace with God ever and got right with God, today's the day. This is the time. Okay, everybody, let's just pray. Particularly those who just raise a hand. In fact, those who raise a hand, just get both your hands and just put them on your heart right now. Just do it. It's just a simple thing to do, isn't it? Everybody praying, just right now, people are coming back to God. People are turning from death to life right now. Wow. Father, we just pray right now for those people, Lord, who've heard the warning from the Word of God. And they're not in church today by chance. They're here because, Lord, you drew them here. Because, Lord, you want them to avoid the rocks of destruction. And so we just pray. We pray for one another. We pray, Lord, that we'll never forget the bad news. Lord, we always want to remember what Christ has saved us from. Lord, in Jesus' name. But Lord, we pray for those, Lord, who have never been right with you today. That, Lord, as they've raised their hands to you, Lord, we pray you'll explode in their lives with your love and your forgiveness. We pray, Lord, as they hand their sin over to you, Lord, that you'll give eternal life and righteousness to them. We pray for those who have been backslidden, Lord, and have been fooling around and Lord, walking away from you and treating your grace as a cheap thing. Lord, for backsliders today, as they're coming back to you, we pray, Lord, as they lift their hearts to you, that you'll cleanse them once again. We pray, Lord, you'll restore them back into the house. Restore to them the joy of your salvation. Lord, we pray you forgive them and cleanse them. Lord, may they move forward in you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray this. Lord, we pray right now too for those people who are important in our lives, our family. You saved Noah and you saved his family. And Lord, sometimes our family don't want to listen to us when we talk about you. But Lord, we pray for people who are important to us, our families especially. We pray somehow, some way, Lord, that you'll minister to our families and that they will be born again so they can avoid the bad news. Lord, we just pray for us as a church. Lord, we want to be a soul-winning church. Lord, we know bad news is hanging over our nation, over this community. We just pray in 2017, we'll see many people rescued from the bad news. Lord, we want to give you all the honor and all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, and they shouted. Can we just praise the Lord? Come on, let's honor God. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Come on.